Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we pray for ears to hear your voice, Lord, with your wisdom and your directions. Our Bible is full of wisdom, and we are thankful to Jesus Christ for being the sacrificed lamb that we might be saved as we are born again. And John 3:3, Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so we pray for salvation for the unsaved. The world is becoming more and more busy. Just as the book of Daniel tells about, at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro. That's Daniel 12:4. And there is a lot of to and fro going on today. There are so many Bible verses that apply to what we are doing in life and how we can get closer to God and to love people. Lord, we are about at the end of the age. Have you noticed? And so many people are speaking about why our Bible is calling us to see what the time frame is at the end of the age. And some people would even say that these last few days are not days, but seconds, because we're getting close. It has every appearance. So we apply our own understanding to the events going on around us, and we try to determine what our course in life should be. Well, let us walk according to the Bible and not according to the momentary desires that we have. Well, we acknowledge God, we acknowledge the Bible truth, and we live faithfully to the commandments of God Jesus. And of course, I think of John 13:34, where Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I certainly think of that one, because he loved us with a love to be sacrificial. And I think in every one of us, we might want to give other people, well, a whole lot of things, even our life. Well, I don't know, but I wonder about it. And life on earth, that is. And then we have a heavenly life. Well, we each of us want to live faithful to God Jesus, and amen. I find it astounding that we are led as God calls us to be led, to be obedient as we live to God Jesus, and let each of us have the ears to hear. I think of in Kings 19:12, there is Elijah who heard the still and quiet voice, which was God's voice. And it wasn't loud and booming. Now, he did hear that too, but and that reminds me of one time, like 20 years ago, I was studying the Bible every day, and I was doing some yard work outside, and suddenly there was a booming voice inside of my head, and it sounded like Scripture, but I had been reading Scripture very much. And I knew that it wasn't quite right. There were a couple of words off, but it was a booming, strong voice. And I pondered it and pondered it. And a few days later, there was a still, quiet voice in my head. And it was gentle and soft. It was caring. And I came to realize that the loud, booming voice was not of God. And it did not have the correct scripture. It was a little bit off. So that made me know that God does speak in a quiet and even a sweet voice, and that is what we want to listen to. That is right in front of us to discern. And certainly, it was a big experience for me. And I can only wonder what for each one of us should learn as we go through life. I don't know, but I do think of what the Bible says as we look at what is going on all around us today. There's a lot going on, and what do we listen to? Do we listen to the loudness of life? Do we listen to the busyness of life? Well, we hardly have time to... Well, many of us are so busy that we have very little time to ponder what is going on around us and search it out. Because we are always so busy. Busy, busy, busy. But we might want to take the time to read God's word and to pray, because that is really what is important, to search out the mysteries of God in the Bible and to be aware of what is going on around us in life, so that we may grow in the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ. Well, for quite a few years, I've been reading the Bible every day. Oh, and then the last few years, I just look things up when I need to. And I've just started a new Bible program again. Program. It's not a program. It is a decision to read the Bible every day. And it's kind of interesting, because I thought it could just go right back into reading the Bible every day. But I have built up habits that are to get up and do things. That's the big habit that I've grown accustomed to. And that is instead of the old habit that I used to have of getting up and reading the Bible. And I used to say, no Bible, no breakfast. Well, I am back into that. And I am saying to myself, no Bible, no breakfast. And that is what helps me to read the Bible every day now. I happen to be reading two Bibles, because I'm doing a little comparison. And I used to be King James. King James all the way, really. Oh, but I like the New King James too. But now I'm reading two Bibles, and I read them both every day, the same verses or chapters. One is the Spirit Study Bible, and the other is the Sacred Name Bible. It's just interesting for me to see the difference, and I am getting to like more and more the original Sacred Name Bible, which uses... God's name according to what it was originally written, like Elohim or Yahweh or whatever that name is. It's original language with that name. That might say Yahshua. It might say something else. But anyway, I'm getting to like it. And I'm getting back into that habit of reading that Bible every day. Well, here we go. It's wonderful that God has not changed, not yesterday, not today. He is the same forever. Well, Hebrews 12:8 talks about that. But in the world around us, there is so much changing. It changes in our country, in our neighborhood, all around us. The world is changing. And yet God remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are thankful for that kind of stability in our life when we follow God, Jesus. Amen. We are thankful for that. We're thankful for the sacrifice on the cross of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, we always know that anything can happen these days because we see so many different courses that life can take, that politics can take, that people around us can do one thing or another, and we are thankful for the stability of God Jesus. And this makes us Christ followers that are ready to deal with whatever there is, because we know the Bible. We're familiar enough with it to have an answer for what is going on and what we might do about it. Even if it's a life or death matter, we still know that that is an essential part of the Bible, that we have decisions in front of us, like life and death decisions. And I know there have been people who I've been around, they've been close to death, and I can see the fear in their eyes. It's just so sad. And I've also been around the Christ followers who appear close to death, and they have no fear. So I think that that's a wonderful part of being a Christ follower, is to have no fear in life or in death. Well, I've been thinking about all the things that are going on, and I think it's good for each one of us to look at what goes on around us so that we can interact with it with our own life and use wisdom and also be protecting the people around us. For instance, our family, our loved ones. And we know that there is an order to God's will, and so we seek to yield to God's will as we go through the things in this life. I know we need to be watchful about people who have, they might have aggressive or violent ideas, and we do have to be aware of that kind of harm ready to happen to either us or our children. So, again, watch out for the things around you, for the people you love also. There are plenty of reasons to go about life and be safe through everything, and we all get to be concerned with our safety and those around us or the people we love. And I do think about fear. I think about there are, let's call them bullies. And there have always been bullies. People who are strong and they say, follow me and I'll take care of you. Do what I tell you to do and I'll make sure that you are safe. Hey, what if it's a government that says, obey the rules and we will protect you? Well, it's an old story of do what I tell you and we will provide safety for you. Pay your taxes and we will take care of you. It's a big system. It's a system of police and soldiers and people who do not obey, and there are prisons for them. Somehow, we have a world in front of us that is trying to bring us into the system. Do what you're told and we will take care of you. Isn't that quite different from the original days of America, where the founders were, they were protecting their own selves and their own families and their own community, their own states? It was what people did. But over the centuries, we have learned to pay our taxes, be a part of the government, and have the government protect us. Is that right? Is that wrong? Well, it can be right, that's for sure. I suppose it can be wrong, too. And what could be more important than our safety? Well, I think of Benjamin Franklin, who said, those who give up their freedom to obtain safety deserve neither. Very interesting. Was he right? Or was he not right? What should we give up to be safe? I think of Benjamin Franklin and how he applies to what we understand today. Is it true? Is it not true? Do we study history? Or do we look around at the world around us and say, oh, I see what has happened when that country gave up their whatever it was, their weapons, their nuclear bombs. And what happens? They get challenged or taken over. It's been the same all through history, whether it's the current conflicts around the world or in the times of Caesar Augustus. There have always been the similar situations. And I think about, speaking about that Caesar Augustus, divide and conquer was one of what he said. And that's what the Caesars of Rome did. They divided and they conquered. It's the same theory that's going on today. It's practiced by our political people. And it's important for us to know who are our friends and who are our enemies, or who would support freedom and who would want us to be contained or even call it enslaved. Well, we think of history and we can see what is going on today is a repeat of it. Now, plenty of people see it and plenty of people do not. So here we are trying to figure out what goes on and what we should be concerned with today. Well, I think some of the basics have always been basics for 2,000 and 4,000 years. What are the basics? It's that we all need the security of water and food and a place for warmth and protection from the weather. Is that a government service? No, we all do that ourselves. We plant our garden, we harvest our food, we take care of the chickens and the animals, and somehow we get through life, even if it's a little bit of a lot to it every day. We have to cook the bread, we have to wash the what needs washing. It's a part of life. And that's I think that's what we're going to be getting back to if life it gets to be complex and confusing and chaotic, because those are what we always need. We will always need those basics of life, whether we have leaders or not, whether we have a country or not, we still have those basic needs. So look after them in your own life. And maybe you can do a little farming too. Maybe you can take care of your relationship with God and your family and your neighbors. It's something that we all want to examine. We all want to get through life with security. But do we provide that security, or do we ask someone else to give it to us? Well, we know what happens. There are historical patterns that how do we protect our property and our liberty? Well, we are watchful, and if we're not, history repeats, and somebody else takes over what we have. And that's the pattern of history. So we seek to be strong as individuals, as a family, and as a community, even that's if that's a large community, like a state or a country, and somehow we still have to act in godly ways, or we have consequences that if we violate God's pattern, we get consequences that are pretty serious. So let's follow God's love and his pattern and not be judged. I know for 20 years more than I've been hearing people who've talked about the division of Israel. And if, you see, that's been going on since Carter. Carter had a plan to divide Israel. And look at, that's going on right now. And I guess I will call them prophetic voices from 20 years ago, more or less. There have been a few. And they say that if America has a part in dividing Israel, America will be divided. What do you say about that? They say that, oh boy. Now, it could be, and it might not be. I don't know how to judge someone else's prophetic visions or dreams, but I'm aware of them, and I know that it could be that is sensible, because we are told what happens, what anyone does to Israel will be done to them. So if we are participating in the division of Israel, we can expect our country to be divided. Now, if that Lake Michigan, for instance, it's a huge, deep lake. If there was an earthquake and if it were to go down the Mississippi Valley, it would take out roads and bridges, and it would really divide the country. Well, that is what used to get talked about, and there are still people who do talk about it, and it's always something to consider. It wasn't my vision, so I can't really speak to it. It's just that I have heard it for quite a few years now, and I ponder it, and I know that it could be true. And now with this talk about having a divided Israel, it brings it to a fresh reality that it really could happen. So back to the old kind of thinking, what do we do about anything? Well, we have our food and supplies, and we get them together. Are they going to be for a week, a month, a year? Well, everybody has a different opinion about that, don't they? But I think it's always good to do something. And one part of it is that it's not just for us. It's for the people around us. You could say our family, our friends, and our neighbors. And that's a part of what we do, too. And we don't want to get distracted from the will of God. And I think we learn that more and more by reading the Bible as we seek our eternal destiny of heaven and not hell. It's just a part of what is in God's book of preparing for life and death. It's the Bible. And let us also remember to forgive one another of our trespasses. That's kind of interesting. I know I've heard people say we forgive people their sins, but that's not biblical. Only God can forgive sins, but we can forgive their trespasses. And that's a part of what we are told to do. Well, we seek to understand and to follow Jesus as we go through life. Life in these busy days, we have so much to think about. And life is so full, and we want to avoid the things that are not of God. Stay away from sin. Stay away from lust. Stay away from addiction. And I even wonder about that, the habits of things. Yeah, I just told you about my new habit of reading the Bible every day. And I found that my habit had been just to get up and do the things of the day that needed to be done. And I found out that I have to return to the old habit of reading the Bible every day. So habits are important also. What are your habits? Are your habits bringing you closer to God? I hope so. Just keep that in mind for what you're doing every day as we read the gospel. I think of reading the gospel and then sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a couple of places where that is referenced. I think of Romans 1:1, and I think of Mark 16:15. It's about sharing the good news of the gospel. And so we go through life. We have our relation with Jesus, and we have our relation with the people around us. Sometimes it is simple, and sometimes it's a little bit complex, and we need to pray and ponder what is right in front of us. Pray. There's so many people who need prayer. I think it's important to pray for one another. Pray for the people who we care about, and pray for the people that we don't care about. Because if they become Christ followers, oh, it would make the world a whole lot easier to deal with. So, pray, pray, and pray. The world goes about its own business, and it does whatever is in front of it and needs to be done. The world, well, we know what it's like. We've lived in it for so long, and it's easy to get distracted. So stay focused on Jesus, God, Jesus, and loving God, loving our neighbor. Well, there's a whole lot we seek to understand, and there's a whole lot that we don't exactly understand. There's sides, two sides to so many things, and sometimes we have to make things work just to get things working out between people. It's not compromising the principles that are the godly principles, but it could be compromising what we personally feel and desire so that our personal desires, they might be compromised or changed. Compromise is something that we do as we go through life. Otherwise, there would be wars. Oh, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about at the end of the age, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Do you think that is from people who don't compromise? Yeah, look at the people around us today. They have to be right. Look at the politicians. Look at the heads of state. People who have to be right, and they cannot compromise. And when you get so determined, it becomes something where our personality drives us forward to have that division and even to have war, actual war. That's what happens when we get so set in who we are. And that's going on with the leaders of the world right now. Look around. You can see it. Oh, yes, certainly. It's there's so many people that are just heading to actual war. So somehow we will have to stay protected from that part of the world around us. We do that by being able to live a while longer. We do that with having what we need to stay alive. Food, water, and community. And don't forget hope. Don't forget God and the Bible. All these things. And have a few Bibles in your survival preparedness things. Because the Bible gives us hope. It gives us understanding about what is to come. And including the goodness of God's kingdom as we yield to his will in life and even to the point of death. It's something that we all understand has great value, and now we get to do it. It's not that we want to be wrong about things that are important to us, but what is the most important to us? I hope it's living for God Jesus, because that is eternally the right thing to do. How are we doing that? And are we sacrificing the things of this life today? We might be. Is it worth it? Well, maybe we ask that question when we are in heaven. Is it worth it to have gotten to heaven and compromise the things of this world? Not that I can tell you the answer, because we all have to seek out the answer for our own self and see if we are going to yield our life to heaven or do our own will and wind up in that other hot place. We all make a decision, and we all choose to walk with Jesus or walk our own walk. We see it has happened all through history. People have followed the goodness of God, or they have followed their own will. A lot of leaders have done that. but not just leaders, people in every walk of life. It's natural to do. I mean, just think of how we've been trained. You've heard people ask the young child who's 2 years old, do you want vanilla or chocolate? Do you want strawberry or toppings? You see, it's all a part of the habits we get into when we determine our own future by making decisions. And yes, that's good. But we also have to consider, what is God's will? Now, if we learn that as a child and we carry it with us through life, can you imagine asking that same question of an adult? What are you doing that is pleasing to God? What do you want? Well, yes, we have our own desires, but are we yielded to God's will? Or do we only think about what we want, and what we want can change minute to minute? So God doesn't change, and we desire to be a part of God's amazing, wonderful, heavenly kingdom. And we never know how long we're going to live. Sometimes we have a short life, and sometimes we have a very long life, even longer than we expect. And we just don't know when life will end. So we want to live wisely. And that wisely can either mean that we are obeying our own desires, or we are obeying the desires that are suitable to God's will. As I said, one day we will meet God. And when we have our own earthly death, or when we are raptured. You see, all these things can happen, and we know now we are getting to the end of the age. Oh, and surely we don't know exactly when the end of the age is, but we see from the biblical verses that the end of the age is getting closer and closer. So, with less and less time to be on this earth, I think we should make good use of this time and follow God, Jesus. And sure, stay alive, but is your staying alive to serve your own will, or is it to serve God's will? Now, we can have all sorts of things happen in life, and we do. Sometimes there are mistakes. Sometimes there are wars. Sometimes there are natural disasters, and we all get to figure out, how do we live a little longer? Because we do want to be around the people we love. We want to make the decision for the life that we are living right now. So we try to make the decisions that will keep us alive. Of course, we haven't been through death before, but oh, if you think about the people who we have been around, who have passed into the next life, like I said, sometimes you see the fear in their eyes, and sometimes you see the comfort because they know that they have an eternal destiny. So you get to figure all that out for yourself, too. What will your choice be, and how will you live? How will you relate to God, Jesus? Well, it's a question of time and how you live during the time that you have, how you love during the time that you have, how you walk with Jesus in the midst of life or in the midst of trouble or even in the midst of chaos. And there's good reason to say chaos is coming. Now, there are people who, they see it prophetically. Okay, well, maybe they're right. As I would say, I have not seen it personally, but I know that things happen that we do not expect. They're surprises. So we try to get through the things that are around us, whether they are chaos or disasters or just a time of conflict with people we care about, people we love. We try to get through that. It's something that is certainly not easy. Well, at least it probably is not easy. And so what do you need to get through it? And I go back to the basics of what I see preparedness is about: water, food, and warmth. And then have community also. How do we do that? Well, I think we all do it a little bit different, but I know that if we have nothing, we are not able to share what we have. And we are not even able to live if we have nothing. We need some supplies. We need some community. We need some love. We need some kindness to other people. So let us give to others and follow the example of Christ. Even if it is in the midst of trouble, even if it is in the midst of chaos, we want to behave as Christ followers. Not just if we are raptured, but also how do we share the love of Jesus if we have a long life on this earth? There will be times of all sorts of things. You could say it's a time of chaos. You could say it's a time of conflict. And certainly all these things can come about because they have happened all throughout history. There have even been people who have been martyred, and they have been all right to be martyred because they know their position in God Jesus. They know his love. They know where they are going for eternity. So we have a choice of how we deal with life. Sometimes it's helpful to read books, like we could read certainly the Bible. We can read Fox's Book of Martyrs. That tells us about how people would live and die as a martyr. There is that book, Jesus Freaks, and it shows that there is a history of people who live and they die for Jesus Christ. And we want to be on that narrow path to eternal life that is described in Matthew 7:14. Walk on the narrow path to life and not on the highway that leads to destruction. Destruction that is considered to be hell, of course. So we have scriptures that is going to help us to discern and determine how to live, all in the midst of the troubles that are here and there. We want to show ourselves approved. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Show yourselves approved." And sure, there may be hardships right in front of us as we live a life of following Jesus Christ. And that's what it takes to be with the Lord. We want to be obedient to God Jesus. And we want to show God's love to other people, even if we disagree with them. Now, there's people who we disagree with in every way, as they live on earth, as they have political decisions, or even the Christians, people who have a different idea of what Christianity is or what the Bible is. And we learn a little bit about how they live and what happens. Maybe you've heard in the last week, there has been a news release from the Vatican that has talked about Pope Francis, that he needed to be sedated after screaming that the demons were coming to get him, to take him through the portal at the foot of his bed. So, yes, are we Christians? Are we? I mean, I don't know, but it sounds like a pretty serious thing to be shouting that the demons were coming for that person. I'm not laughing. I'm just thinking back to the time when I was in the hospital a couple of years back, and I heard what sounded to me like the hounds of hell waiting for the man in the bed next to me for his soul. I mean, I don't know it, but I know that is what it sounded like, what I was hearing. Do I know? No, I don't know, but I sure had that experience. And now to hear about Pope Francis screaming that the demons were trying to drag him into the portal that leads to hell. It's something which, what do we believe? I don't know what to tell you to believe. All I know is to believe in Jesus Christ. And there are people who have a prophetic vision for this or for that, or they have learned some history, and they talk about this or that history. I think of Tom Horn, who wrote a book about, it goes back to St. Malachi, and he predicted all the popes. And this Pope Peter, Pope Francis, who Malachi wrote about as being Peter the Roman. And you see, that goes back to what Pope Francis at one point called himself. So we have a description, we have a history, and we have things going on right now that could match up Pope Francis to being the last pope. And now what do you think will happen? Oh, there obviously is something to do with the Antichrist. And that makes me think of, there was an open letter by Archbishop Vigano, Archbishop Carlo Vigano, who wrote an open letter to President Trump in 2018. And he was supporting President Trump, and he was saying that there's something devilish going on with the current pope. So, again, it's not that we know, but we sure have indicators of something going on that is unholy. And it's something, what do we try to figure out? But we know we're living in a very certain time. There is right now the red heifer that is scheduled to be sacrificed on March 21st, 2025. And the ashes from the red heifer will be used to cleanse the temple in Jerusalem, the third temple. And that's where it has been written that the Antichrist is expected to stand and speak. Well, I'll just call it terrible things. And so there is speculation about what is coming about. Lots of speculation. Is the Antichrist alive right now? A lot of people think so, and they are uncertain who that might be. There are people who say that it's the Turkish President Erdogan's son, but a whole lot of people say it is someone in the royal family of England. Well, I don't mean I can tell you. All I know is I am curious about it too. There are things going on right now in these last days, the days that are the end of the age, and it means that we are trying to figure things out. But the most important thing is that we want to hold tight to Jesus, especially now as we see the great falling away. It's called the great apostasy in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. It's the great falling away, and we see that there are apparent Christ followers, people in churches who are, in fact, falling away from the faith. I don't get it. I cannot understand it, but I can see that it's happening right this year, last year. It's going on, and so we have things going on. There are people who talk about events happening in this year or a couple of years away. And really, we really don't know. But I think of prophetic people. And I also think of Isaac Newton, who suggested that 2060 was going to be about the time that Christ returned. And no, I don't mean I even support it. I just say I acknowledge Isaac Newton was a scientist with a great mind for mathematics, and he also wrote more books on theology than he did on science. So it's something I just ponder. Would he be right? It sure is possible. So whatever it is, if we have Christ returning in 3 weeks or 3 decades, it in a way it doesn't matter. We just are going to live according to Jesus Christ as we go through life every day. Every single day, live for Jesus. Make sure you are a Christ follower every single day. And then when we pass, we will pass into heaven. Well, make sure of that for yourself. Read the Bible. See what it says. And then live according to how the Bible tells you. The Bible is such an amazing book. I hope you have read it. It's wonderful. And meanwhile, let us stand for the things of God. I talked about the division of Israel and how that I didn't say this, but it started under Jimmy Carter with the Camp David Accords, and now it's continuing. There is the president right now who is talking about a divided Israel. And what will happen? There we go. Obadiah 1:15 says that whatever you do to Israel, that will be done to you. So back to that division of America. If the United States participates in dividing Israel, I could see where it would happen that America would be divided. And with the earthquakes that are going on all around the world and the visions that people have had about Lake Michigan draining into the Gulf of Mexico or the Gulf of America, well, you see, there are things going on. And we could have all that happen. We could have half the country divided. And that would actually be biblical if we continue with the division process of Israel. Well, we might have to be planting our own food one day and becoming the farmers that we depend on, farming our own land so that we can live just like it was in the ancient days. It could happen, and it's something that we might want to become farmers again, to plant our own food. And to harvest it, to have a relation with the land, to have a relation with our neighbors and the people around us. And just think of what we would miss out on. We would miss out on gasoline for our cars. We would miss out on electricity. But we might be helping our neighbors a whole lot more. We might be having time with our children a whole lot more. So it is a matter of, how would we spend our time if there was a collapse of America? I think we might not have the same addictions. We might not have the same addictive lifestyle or alcoholics. And we might have a relation with our family and our neighbors like we have never had before. So perhaps we could see it as a good thing. Perhaps it would be terrible. I don't know, but I know that whatever's coming is going to be in God's will. And sure, there would be good things from it and things that we wouldn't like so much. Because wouldn't we like to see a world where nuclear missiles and destruction of underground sea communication cables would no longer take place? There's some good things about it, but surely it's not just one-sided. Would we be more healthy if we ate food from our own gardens? Lots of questions. Would we be healthier if we worked the soil like Adam was told to do? Would it be better if we had relation with our neighbors and our church community and our community around us, there could be big changes. And what would they mean? Probably something different to everyone, but we ought to know that it could happen. So get a few things for the just in case. I think of garden tools. I think of a supply of food. Whatever those basic things are, have a few things for the just in case. Because we don't know that our federal government would be able to help us, or our state government, or even the churches around us. Who has any materials to help people in a time of need? Nobody. The warehouses have food and materials, but even they have to be purchased either by our government or by the Red Cross. There are no supplies. If you want to be prepared, you have to have your own supplies. And we have a world where there is so much corruption. Oh, look at the corruption that's going on with our payment system. How federal people are being discovered. And there are kickbacks in the millions of dollars for politicians. It's all being discovered. And somehow we have a situation where finances and currency is in trouble. Why we even are questioning if there is gold in Fort Knox. There are things that are just to ponder. Was that gold even sold? And there are contracts that other countries own it. We really don't know. There are things. So somehow we're going to have a lot to deal with if there gets to be chaos and confusion. And we have a system where the politicians have grown rich based on what they have been able to gain in kickbacks or situations. And I think of, it's always hard to change your ways. I mean, just think, if your children were dependent on you and you gave them money every week, and then they stole a few $100 out of your wallet every week. If they did that and all of a sudden they couldn't get any more money, either from your wallet or from their allowance, they might be kind of angry and upset. And if there were politicians that could no longer get the millions of dollars from your wallet or from their projects, they might be upset too. And you can imagine that they might say, oh, let's crash the country. If our country's not going to pay us anymore, we're going to destroy it. Just be aware that this is a possibility as people get angry and they want to have revenge on whoever treated them badly in their own mind. I think it's a real possibility that there will be angry people who will say, I'm going to burn this place down. Burn the country down. They're not supporting me anymore. So it's going back to being aware of what is going on around you and also to stay prepared for just in case trouble comes your way. There, I was just thinking, just like in the last week or two, there was the Chinese spokesman, here in America, he said China is declaring that they are ready for war with the United States, whether it was a trade war or any other kind of a war. China would fight to the end. That's what a spokesman for China said. So we have a world around us that is full of conflict, and we might have to take care of our own self, our family, and help our neighbors too, help our church family. These are things that are going on, and we have troubles. We have troubles with fires and earthquakes. The earthquakes are just getting more and more all across the world. North America, South America, Indonesia. Earthquakes continuous in larger numbers than we have seen. And fires too. Here again recently, there were that 175 fires in North Carolina that were just happening in a day, that very short period of time. There is corruption. Oh, speaking of corruption, I will pass this on. He was a PhD that you might know, Jerome Corsi, and he has been talking about the electronic voting corruption and how there was massive voter fraud discovered as everything was manipulated from the mail-in ballots to the actual votes, and there was information that appeared and disappeared. And you can go to his site. His website is godsfivestones.com. godsfivestones.com. And Jerome Corsi has been concerned about America for a long time. We are concerned about America too, because we're living here in America. Now, some people are looking for a big event like that, and some people are just looking to survive whatever is coming. A cyber attack might be coming, a grid down event might be coming, there might be no more water for a while. So these are things that people are certainly preparing for. And also, there's a nuclear event that some people are expecting. If there is a nuclear event, I urge everyone to get potassium iodide pills. Get a bunch of them. They're relatively cheap, and they would help you to keep your thyroid gland, which governs the other glands in your body. So get potassium iodide in case there is either an accidental or an intentional nuclear detonation around. There are things that everybody needs. Food, water, community. You might even need shovels to take care of people who didn't do well during a collapse. So just look at what is going on around you and prepare for the possibilities. It is much easier to prepare beforehand when things are available than to wait until you know there is a need, and then you can't get what you need because everybody now knows there's a need and they are buying up everything and you cannot buy anything anymore. So get prepared now while you are able. I also want to urge you to listen to any past broadcasts of ChristToday.org. And you also can have my free preparedness list by sending me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I certainly do welcome donations. I wish everyone well and God's blessing. God bless you. And look to see what you might expect, because it is far better to get prepared a year too early than a moment too late. God bless you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.